This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
So glad to be here this morning for this opportunity to share what God has deposited in my heart. And we've been talking about worship. This is our sixth in the series of our series called Let My People Worship, and I can't wait. I will say, I think this is one of my favorite topics to speak on because at the core of who I am a worshiper. And I love that this topic is not limited to a group of people, but all people, right? Because we were all created and designed to worship. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your presence that's here, Holy Spirit. And we just take a moment and say thank you. We bless your holy name, God. We continue to lift you up. And as this word comes forth, God, I pray that your words would be what's heard this morning. And I pray, God, that as we open our ears to what your Spirit is saying to us, God, that you would reveal anything that's been hidden in our hearts, God, that is not from you, or things that we have not known have been there, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would shine a light and help us, God, to deal with that today. And I thank you for much growth in your presence. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start off by talking to you about the quality of worship. I know that we know worship is good, but sometimes we don't equate worship and quality. We don't put them in the same sentence. And understanding what quality means, it is an indicator of the degree of the standard of excellence. And most of us really appreciate quality, right? When we're spending time with somebody that we care about, we want to spend quality time with them. When we are buying a car or something of great value, we want it to be something of quality, right? So it lasts a long time. Quality is valuable, and it is very much something that we should apply in worship. So I want to start with this little exercise, and it's going to involve your imagination a little bit. Some of you won't have to imagine too hard, but I want you to imagine that you're going on a date with your significant other. This is for adults, okay, guys? Little ones, it's okay. So you're going on a date. If you're married, think about your spouse. If you're not married, think about that person that God has set apart for you. And imagine that you're going to a nice restaurant, right? You're going to have dinner, maybe a movie afterwards. And you're looking forward to this, and you're getting yourself presentable, and you're made sure you smell good, you look good. You're probably already getting hungry, thinking about where you're going to eat and what you're going to eat. And maybe it's a big, juicy steak. Maybe it's salad for some people. Maybe it's maybe some buttery garlic mashed potatoes on the side. If you're like me, I like to cap the night off with a nice chocolatey dessert. I love chocolate, and it'll have some chocolate filling and some chocolate chips and chocolate ganache and chocolate, right? Okay, so keep it going. That's for Janae. So imagine that you get in the car and you pull up to this restaurant, and as soon as you get out, you see it's a big M and you're at McDonald's. And now your expectations have been shattered, right? Because now you were thinking you were going to eat at someplace nice. McDonald's is fine, but you know, if you're thinking about a nice restaurant, you're thinking that's not the place for the nice dinner. Then you say, okay, well, we'll just make the best of it. And you sit down, you're with your person, and then the person starts to go through their phone and they're distracted and they're looking at stuff. And you're like, hey, can you just be here? Can you be with me in the moment? And they're like, yeah, I'm with you. I need to finish this one thing. Okay, so you give grace, and then as the night goes on, you start to feel like they're kind of not there and they're waiting for the next thing. Like they're trying to get through just so they can go to the next thing. I use that example just to say that sometimes we do that in God's presence. Sometimes he's waiting to have this intimate moment. He's wanting us, our whole heart, our full attention, our thoughts to be focused on him. And we're thinking about all kinds of things. We're wondering what's going on with so-and-so who came in. We're wondering why they aren't playing the song that you really like. Or you're wondering like what you did yesterday that you didn't get done, or what you got to do today. We can get so distracted, and God wants to commune with us. It's important that the quality of our worship, it's not good just to be in the building. It's not good just to say, I'm going to put a worship song on. Engage. We have to engage. We've got to give him quality, right? So it reminds me of David. So David was a man, we've heard that he was a man after God's own heart. We see his relationship with God. We see how he was a worshiper. And he was getting ready at one point to purchase some land so that he could build an altar and then make a sacrifice before the Lord. So he finds this person who's got this land, and the person says to him, I will give you the land and everything you need to do these things for free. And it seemed like a really great deal, but I love David's immediate response. He was like, no, I cannot take this. I will not take it for free because I will not give God what costs me nothing. There's got to be a price. There's got to be something that comes from you. And so when we talk about a sacrifice of praise, it reminds me of that song, that old hymn. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you sacrifices of thanksgiving, right? Which that song comes from Hebrews 13:15, which says, so we no longer offer up a steady stream of blood sacrifices, but through Jesus, in the new covenant, we will offer up to God a steady stream of praise sacrifices. These are the lambs that we offer from our lips that celebrate his name. It's so easy to offer up a sacrifice of praise by just saying thank you, just stopping and praising God's name, stopping to say, man, God, you are good. God, you are awesome. And sometimes we forget to do that. We forget to slow down, right? So to conclude that part, quality of worship matters. It's consistent and it has to be unwavering. We have sometimes these things that quirks, right? We start to feel like the conditions have to be perfect to worship. And that's really not, that shouldn't be. When Pastor Pete spoke 2 weeks ago on the topic of worship, he mentioned about it's important to worship God because of who he is, not just what he can do for us. And I remember just feeling so bubbly in my seat because I agreed so hard with that. It really speaks to me. I understand that. I get it. God is so wonderful, so sovereign, so awesome. That alone deserves our praise and our worship. But sometimes we get caught up in something not being right, or I had a bad morning, or, I'm just not feeling it. I'm going through it right now. There's so many excuses we can think of. Worship is not contingent upon how we're feeling. And that's something that we have to remind ourselves of because it's easy. We have emotions. We have things that we go through, but we have to remind ourselves, I'm resolving to worship. Pastor Joshua had touched on this too this past Sunday when he said, worship is very focused. It's not about us. It's about him. So a great scripture for that is Psalm 8:3, which says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? He's so great. He's so great. And sometimes we allow us or whatever we're going through to become bigger. And, God is up here, but we can take our problems and we can start to elevate them, or we can take whatever's going on. Think about what's going on in the world, right? It seems so big, so grand, so like, how are we going to fix this? But we have to keep that in perspective. I'll be honest, when I come in here, not even just when I come in here, I make it a point to keep things in check because we all live in a world where there's information, 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 opinions, 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 narratives, narratives, and we cannot allow those things to so drown us that it almost like strangles the praise out of you. You can't allow it. So you got to come in and you got to be ready. I said, I've resolved that I'm going to worship, that my focus is on the Most High God, and everything else is going to work out. All right, so principle, worship is not based on a feeling, it's a state of being. So no matter what's going on, whether I had a good day, whether I had a bad day, whether I had a tough morning, whether I'm feeling sick or not, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. And there have been seasons where I had not felt like it. Not just a day, seasons where I've been like, I just feel nothing. But we can't be led by our feelings. That's when we have to just, like a soldier, you got to keep going. You're focused on the mission. I have been blessed. I've been blessed over the years to be involved in worship in some way or another. We're getting close to 25 years now. I'm just going to say I started real young. So, but I've seen a lot of, there's been a lot that God has shown me on a personal level and also things corporately. Pastor Joshua and I have done worship in this house for a long time, but we've gone other places where we've worshiped. And we can see sometimes the different chemistry and the different strengths or weaknesses of different places where people get it, where they get worship, and where they don't have an understanding or sensitivity to the presence of God. So it's amazing the synergy, and I'm sure if you've been in church long enough or when you come in, you can sense the synergy of when people all come together and it's like they're all on the same page. It's like everyone's come, we're going to worship God, we're going to give him everything we got, and there's just like this energy in the room, and it's not because, it's not something that we've conjured up. It's just that we're all unified saying we're going to exalt the name of our creator. We're going to exalt God's name. And versus when you go somewhere or you're doing worship somewhere and then it's just like the crowd is dead. And it's like where, you know, the presence of the Lord is here. Can you see it? You know, can you sense it? It's just sometimes it's so tangible. But and the truth is some people do know that it's there, but they, because they don't feel like engaging, they won't. And that is such a sad place to get to. We don't want to go there. We don't want to allow ourselves to get jaded or to get, used to the presence of God in a way that it's like, I could be in it and not be transformed in it. I can be in it and not choose to open my mouth and worship him. So the principle here is worship is not conditional. Nobody should have to crank you up to worship. It is something that you have an understanding. I was designed to worship. I believe that the purpose of a praise team, you know, is to do that, to lead people. You got to have somebody that's saying, we're going to sing this song and we're going to, you know, and you play instruments together. But it's not this team's job only to bring in the presence of God. It's not this team's job only to exalt God's name. It's the people of God. It's our job to exalt his name and to love the Lord because we individually have relationships with him, right? So if it's individual, we got to have something there. David, again, I love his example of his life. He had some highs, he had some lows, he had some in-betweens, and he always worshiped. You can see it when he's like excited, you know, he's talking about how good God is. When he's in the valley, like he's praising the Lord anyway. I mean, I admire that so much, and I try to follow that example in my own life. But he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. So you're not just waiting for a moment of things to be perfectly aligned. You're not just waiting for when you get the car, or when you get the house, or when you get a breakthrough or a raise. You're doing it at all times. God, I thank you, Lord. Even though I'm not feeling good today, I thank you, God, that you woke me up this morning. I thank you, God, that you've given me life. I thank you, God, that even if I'm not completely happy at the job that I am, Lord, that you're making a way, that you're repositioning things. Like, you find something to be grateful for. But sometimes we get so caught up in the situation that we hold back from our praise. So our circumstances don't determine our worship, or like some like to say, my current situation. That doesn't determine your worship. How you're feeling doesn't determine your worship. Hebrews 11:6, this was so good. We used this earlier in the series, but I had to bring it back because it's so powerful. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We've heard the other version of this, but I like this version because it says it's so simply laid out. We must believe that God exists. So that's faith. And then he rewards those who what? sincerely seek him, which is pretty straightforward, right? What does sincerely mean? When I looked that up, it said no pretenses and no ulterior motives. Sometimes we get our motives or our agenda kind of caught up in the middle of what we're doing in worship. God, I want you to do this for me. God, and don't get me wrong. The Bible says, you know, that we should run to him when we need anything. He's our provider. Jesus is our provider. He provides everything that we need, right? So we should run to him. So this is not about not coming to him when you need something, but it's about the focus of worship. When we're worshiping, there's a time for everything. There's a time for us to just give our hearts completely before him and say, God, I'm coming to you because of who you are. I'm not coming to you to ask you for something. And sometimes we ask, and we don't invest more into our relationship with him. So we're looking for the reward before the relationship. It says that he rewards us, but we have to sincerely seek him. We have to have the investment in that relationship that then later on there's like, you know, there's this reward given. So sometimes, you know, we put the cart before the horse. That was the example I got. But one of the things that I experienced younger, in my younger years of worship, I remember having a moment where I was going through something, and at the time it was really big. You know, now I look back and I'm like, that wasn't that big. But at the time it was big. So I'm worshiping, right? And I did everything I knew how. I said, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, and then I'm going to worship. And I really emphasized, I put a lot of my effort in worship. But when I was worshiping, I remember thinking to myself, man, if I could just worship hard enough, God will find favor with me and then change this thing. And you know, I learned something from that thought pattern back then, which was I was seeking an end result. And, you know, I've really changed my approach with that, because I believe that we come to God, and by our very proximity to him, as we continue to walk with him, as we continue to commune with him, as we continue to love with him, you begin to become more holy like him, right? You begin to be less of yourself, and he begins to show you things that you didn't see before. And because of that, you start to walk in more righteously. And the scripture that says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So he hears us when we walk close to him. When we are walking closely with him, then stuff begins to change. So, you know, I just believe that we have to find ourselves in a different place, change our perspective from bailout. And I've seen people that come, I've seen over the years, I remember at times in my walk, I would find myself like coming to God and then kind of going back to like a, you know, just like a coasting place, and then coming back to God, and then, you know, and it was cyclical, you know, and you get to a place where when you really want the things of God, you start to say, I'm going to push through because I need to have this, I need to give everything. I need to be in right standing with him, right? So we don't want to find ourselves in bailout status. We want to find ourselves just being present with the Lord. So perspective is vital. We need to put our relationship first. Just like the word says, when we seek first the kingdom of God, then everything else is added. And David was a great example. He did this consistently. His worship was not conditional, and it was consistent. He invested in his relationship with God through worship, and God rewarded him for his consistency. He made a resolve. He made a resolve. And that's the point I'm driving home today. We have to make a resolve to worship no matter what. I love this scripture that I'm about to share with you, because it greatly, like, just it encapsulates everything that I was trying to say in this whole sermon that I know that God is speaking, and that's Psalm 34, 1 through 7. He says, Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. I'm boasting of you and all your works, so let all who are discouraged take heart. The beautiful thing about the way that God does things is it's never one-sided. It's always a win-win. And it, in turn, blesses others. So when we celebrate, when we boast about what God has done, it begins to encourage others around you. Verse 3, join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Let's make his name glorious to all. That's corporate worship. That's when we come together here. We're coming with a mission, not just to come to church, right? We come on a mission. I'm coming to worship today. I'm coming to not, and this is the thing I said earlier, when in a healthy family, when they get together for the holidays, whenever they have an opportunity or for a birthday, and say everybody's grown up, when the family comes back together, the parent is always so thankful to have all their children together, right? That's how God feels when we are all together and we're worshiping his name, right? And my children are worshiping me. We're all in one accord. We're not fighting. We're in the moment with the presence of God. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 4, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. So while we're testifying, we're getting freed from fears. While we're testifying, we were just talking to somebody about this. We said, you overcome in your testimony while you're walking it out through the word of God and our testimony. So how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And let me just say this. Your testimony is so important. You have to guard it. Guard how you say things. Guard what you say, whether it be one-on-one or even online. You can't get online and make a post and say, God has been so good to me. Oh, man, he's provided for me. I didn't think I could meet my rent. And all of a sudden, like, God has blessed me. And then the next week, God, you know, the devil's really kicking my butt this week. You know, you can't do stuff like that. It speaks against your testimony. You are responsible for what you speak. You are feeling some warfare that week. That's fine. We go through warfare, but it's so important that you confess the right thing. I am an overcomer. God is with me. Guard your testimony. Verse 5, gaze upon him, join your life with his, and joy will come. Your faces will glisten with glory. This is beautiful. You'll never wear that shame face again. So now, like, just by your worship with him, by your closeness to him, he begins to take off shame. When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me, bringing his miracle deliverance when I needed it most. The angel of the Lord stooped down to hear as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. I love that part because just like I had said earlier about the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Those that are close to God, when you walk closely with God, when you cry out, he's going to hear what you have to say. He will do this for who? Everyone who fears God. Oh, and I love that because when I looked up fear, you know, a lot of people will attribute that to something negative or not negative, but like fearing God, like, oh, you know, I'm afraid. But it's in this context, what fear means is to stand in awe of reverence, honor, and respect, which all of those things add up to what? Worship. Standing in awe, reverence, honor, and respect. When we do these things, when we slow down to say thank you, we're walking in full worship. When we go a little further to verse 10, it says, even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. I love how it says passionately. So not when I kind of feel like it, half-hearted, you know, passionately, like you're sincerely, you're pursuing the Lord, will never lack any good things. So he's so amazing. What an amazing God that he not only loves us and he's mindful of us, but he's goes the distance to care for us, to not let us lack for anything. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and those who resolve to worship. So I want to challenge you today. Maybe you already walked this out. Maybe you feel like you could grow a little bit in it. I tell you what, I believe we never arrive. Like, till we meet him face to face, that's when we arrive. But life is a journey, and he is taking us through this journey and growing us. And I'm always asking God, show me more. God, help me grow more. And I just want to challenge us as a house to press further in worship. To we had such a beautiful moment in worship a couple weeks ago when we were getting ready. It was Thursday night. We were getting ready for the Sunday. And so part of it in our rehearsal, we were going through some of the technical stuff. But when we finished, like, we just stayed. Everybody stayed right where they were. And it was like the Spirit of God was moving. And we couldn't move. Like, we couldn't leave. We couldn't wrap it up and say goodnight. It was just, like, so beautiful. And God, the word I heard was deposit. He deposited something that night. And so I believe that he's wanting to take us to a new place in him, in our worship. He's wanting to commune, to get closer, and just show us things that we haven't seen before in him. So if you would just pray with me. God, I just thank you right now for the word that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious, loving God. I thank you that you are a faithful God, that you are all powerful. And Lord, today we just open our hearts to you and we say, have your way in us, God. If there's any time that we've held back, if there's any time that instead of worshiping, Lord, we've been distracted or we've been half-hearted, or God, where we just haven't given you our full selves, Lord, we repent of that. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to grow, help us to be sensitive, quicken our hearts, Lord. Let us hear and move by your Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and not be held back by our own weaknesses or inhibitions, God. But we allow you to be strong in us. We allow you, God, to do a work in us, to strip away stuff, God, that has deterred us or kept us down from worshiping. And I thank you, Lord, that your joy is our strength. And so, God, we just speak right now, Lord. We declare, we resolve to worship. We make that decision today, God, that no matter what we're feeling, no matter what we're facing, God, that we keep our eye on the prize. We keep our eye on the fact that you are God and God alone, that you are high above it all, Lord. And we just worship you today with everything that's in us. We bless your holy name and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.